All right, well, I am very excited this morning because one of my all-time favorite people, one of my dearest friends, and one of my spiritual heroes is here to minister the Word of God to us. Kyle has he's done lots of stuff. He's done many things. I'm not going to go through all that, if that's okay. He's just very distinguished. And in addition to being an incredible pastor, I mean, as much of a pastor's heart as I've ever seen in a guy, he's also very gifted spiritually, and I've given him freedom to minister in those gifts this morning. So there's no pressure on him, but I've invited him. He moves prophetically from time to time. The Lord's used him quite a bit in healing, words of knowledge and that sort of thing. So I've given him complete liberty to do whatever he wants to do as the Lord leads. But even more importantly than that, and more importantly than Kyle, Tapestry, you're getting ready to receive the incorruptible Word of God sown into your life. If God speaks to you, will you be obedient? Then are you ready to receive the Word this morning? Please welcome Pastor Kyle.
All right. Good morning, Tapestry. I've never gotten that kind of welcome anywhere. My goodness. Gary, thanks for paying them. I appreciate it. All right. Hey, just want to say for my wife, Melanie, and I, we just celebrated 36 years of marriage. And if you don't believe in miracles, you should. If you know my wife, it's a miracle that she stuck with me for 36 years, okay? If you know me a little bit, it's a miracle, okay? And so praise God. And we're in town. Our youngest daughter, Olivia, and her husband, Garrett, live just a few miles from here. And she had back surgery this week. And thank you. A few weeks ago on a Tuesday night, you guys prayed over them. Thank you so much. The surgery doctor said it was textbook surgery, went well. She is recovering. Her husband's serving at our church this morning, so my wife is there taking care of Olivia this morning. And then our oldest daughter, Emily, and her husband live in Knoxville, where we live. So greetings from Knoxville, Faith Promise Church. And we just love Gary and Jen. And my wife first met Gary in 1983 on Youth Quest Singers. We were both at Liberty University, and she could actually sing. I got on Youth Quest because I was a youth ministry major, and they needed a youth ministry major on the team. Not that because I could sing. And so I got on the next year, and I met Gary the next year in 1984. And then we've just tracked ever since then. And I just love he and Jen, love the anointing on their life. There's few people that are more talented than them. Do you recognize that? Just God-given favor and talent, anointing. But there's few people I trust more than them either, all right? Just so trustworthy. And so thank you for the invitation to be here today, and thank you for the invitation to be an overseer of Tapestry. It's just really a privilege and honor. Pray for you every day, and it's very an honor to be with you today. So I made a commitment about 18 months ago that, Lord, as long as you give me breath, I will tell people about the kingdom of God. And then ask you to display your kingdom to people. And so that's what I want to talk about today, because I made that commitment to God. So anytime I get a chance, I'm going to talk about the kingdom of God, because I believe it's a misunderstood thing in Scripture. I want to say a shout out to Shauna. Shauna, good to see you up here singing. Shauna was in my first youth ministry that Mel and I learned anything about ministry, so to see that she's still in church is just a miracle, praise God. Anyone from that first youth group that's still in church serving God, it's like, God is good, okay? And I want to do a shout out to a dear friend of mine, Pastor Ron Jones. Pastor Ron, would you wave at us? Come on. Ron is a Navy veteran, retired, and a pastor, and truly, Gary, one of the most gifted marriage counselors I've ever met, he and his wife, Tina. And so if you ever need some marriage counseling and you don't want to do it, he's your guy. I don't want to do it, I'll tell you that. But Ron's the guy. He's gifted, anointed from the Lord to do that. And Ron, thank you for being here today. It's an encouragement to see you. So take your Bible and turn to, first of all, we're going to be in a lot of passages today. Turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. You know, we're told in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Also in the model prayer, the disciples' prayer in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, when you pray, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And do you ever stop to think about what that means? And what that means? So we're going to look at some scripture today and just try to unpack what the kingdom of God is all about and what it means for our lives in 21st century. Because if it doesn't apply to our lives now, then what use is it? But it's of great use, okay? So let's look at Luke chapter 7, and we're going to begin with verse 20. So let me give you the setting here. John the Baptist has baptized Jesus. He's called him out. He's the Messiah. I'm not worthy to tie his shoes, you know what I'm saying, to tie his sandals up. But then John's in jail, and he sent some of his people because they had an expectation for the Messiah to come, and the Messiah was going to overthrow the Roman rule and put the Jewish people back in rule, okay? They were going to rule. Israel was going to rule again, and they were excited about the Messiah. Can you feel that? They were really excited. And so John's in jail. It's like, why am I in jail? I proclaim the Messiah. And he's here. Why is he not doing something to overthrow this Roman government? Get me out of jail. Come on. You know, I'm sure he's thinking that. And so he sends his followers to Jesus to ask a question. And look at it in verse 20. It says, when the man came to Jesus, he said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? Listen, he knew from God he was the Messiah, but he had an Old Testament perspective of the kingdom of God. You see, you go back to the book of Daniel, and then Daniel has this dream, this vision, where there's coming a day where God's kingdom is going to rule over all other kingdoms, where all other kingdoms will bow to the kingdom of God. That day is coming in the future. Can you say amen to that? It's coming in the future. And that's the perspective the Old Testament writers had. And John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. He had that same perspective that the kingdom of God is coming and it's going to annihilate all other kingdoms. All other kingdoms are going to bow down to Jehovah God and Israel. That's what they were believing. But here in the New Testament, Jesus came and he is beginning to unfold what's called a mystery. The mystery of the kingdom of God. A mystery is something that's always been true. It was just hidden in the past. It was hidden in the book of Daniel. It was hidden in the Old Testament. It was hidden from John the Baptist. But Jesus now, the Son of God, who's ushering in the kingdom of God, is bringing a mystery that the kingdom of God is not coming to dethrone people this time. It's not coming against people. It's coming against Satan and evil, coming against the demonic realm, darkness. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's a mystery that's being unveiled here. So look at verse 20. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else? Verse 21. At this very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Look at this verse 23. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Jesus is unfolding a mystery that they weren't expecting. It's a twist in the kingdom of God. They were expecting power over people, and Jesus is unfolding power over Satan. Power over darkness. He's coming to dethrone that. So take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28. Or your phone, either one, that works. Just don't hear the phone, you know? Yeah, I'm telling you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. This is Jesus speaking. It says, But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out what? Demons. Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus is ushering in the kingdom of God. Now, here's some principle I want you to see today. It's called the already and the not yet. The kingdom of God is here. When Jesus came, it came with him. It's here. You got that? It's not here, in that it's not fully here, and it's coming. He's ushering in the kingdom of God. So turn over one page or one chapter in your phone to Matthew chapter 13. And I want us to look at some parables about the kingdom of God. I want you to look at them through a new lens. Now, a parable, it's important to understand, is something that where Jesus would tell stories using everyday common language and everyday common things that people could relate to and understand. What's important about a parable is to understand this. There's a driving point in every parable. All the little facts in the parable are the little statements in the parable are just color. Color from the time, from the culture. They don't necessarily have to have spiritual meaning. Are you with me? So don't get caught up in every little detail. Why was this purple and why was that blue and why did he ride a donkey here and what's going on here? Don't get caught up in that. Get caught up in the central point of every parable that Jesus is trying to drive home. So these parables are all about the kingdom of God. So in verse 3 of chapter 13 says, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew and choked the plants. Still others fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Now, Jesus goes on to explain this parable, what it means. But here's a central theme. Think about this for the kingdom of God. Listen to this. Not everyone is going to come into the kingdom of God. That's what he's driving home here. Some will look like they're in the kingdom, but they're not. Some will make a decision and hang out with you. By the way, the kingdom of God is not your church, okay? It's not the church. And the kingdom of God is simply this. It's the reign of God. It's the reign of God as king, as Lord. That's all the kingdom of God means. So in the reign of God, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is in under the reign of God. Do you understand that? Are you with me? That's what Jesus is driving home yet. Here, some are going to hear the gospel. The seed's going to be sown. But not everyone in Virginia Beach is going to come into the kingdom under the reign of God. That's all he's saying right there. That's what he's driving home in this parable. Now look at verse 24. We see another parable. Jesus told them another parable, the kingdom of heaven. By the way, Matthew always used the kingdom of heaven instead of kingdom of God because of his strict Jewish roots. And so he would use kingdom of heaven because they didn't flippantly use the name God, Jehovah, okay? So he called it kingdom of heaven. They're synonymous. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? An enemy did this, he replied. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. What's the point here? In the kingdom, there's constantly seed being sowed. In the kingdom of God, by the Holy Spirit, by his messengers in the kingdom who are under the reign of God. The kingdom of God is going to be filled with people who are under the reign of God. But you're also going to live amongst people who are not under the reign of God. You're going to live amongst people. This is not talking about the church. This is not to be interpreted that there'll be wicked, lost people within the church. That's not the point here. It's talking about the kingdom of God is going to exist next to the kingdom of darkness at the same time. That's what he's driving home here. So sometimes, listen, if you're like me, I grew up in a, my dad was a Baptist pastor, and here was kind of our marching orders. We would sing all these songs about future. There's coming a day. Whew, there's coming a day. And man, those songs would get you excited. You might even cry a little. You couldn't wait for that day. And this is back in the 70s when I'm a kid, and things were pretty good back then. You know, gas was 49 cents. My goodness. You know what I'm saying? So it was pretty good. And, but everyone had this idea, just hang on, suffer as best you can, but one day we'll all be good. If you could just hang on in this life, one day we'll be with God and everything will be okay. You ever been taught that? You ever been taught that in your life? That's what I grew up with. Well, Jesus' teaching is different, that the kingdom of God is here and we're to experience what God desires in heaven here on earth right now, even though it's amongst the kingdom of darkness. We can expect thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we don't have to worry. Yes, that day's coming. I can't wait for that day. It's going to be great. But while I'm here, I'm not going to live in misery. I'm not going to live in sadness. I'm going to live with a future. I'm going to live with hope. I'm going to live with purpose today because the kingdom of God is here and I am under the reign of God. Are you under the reign of God? Are you glad you're under the reign of God? Yes. See, we're here. It's here right now. There's another parable, verse 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest little seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants. It becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Now, this parable simply says the kingdom is here. Jesus ushered it in. Sometimes we don't see it because of all the darkness around. But it's here. It's here in you. It's here in you. It's here in you. It's here in you. Where you live, work, study, shop, and play, it's in you. The kingdom, the reign of God is here on earth. It could be insignificant, seem insignificant sometimes, like a mustard seed. The picture here is that it's not growing to this great shrub. One day it will. That's not the picture. The picture here is it's here. The kingdom of God is here. And though sometimes it seems insignificant, it's powerful. It's the reign of God. He tells another parable in verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. A little yeast, the kingdom of heaven. It's here. It's all over the world. Sometimes we get overwhelmed with what's happening in our world. Sometimes we're like, God, when are you going to do something? Sometimes we get like the psalmist, just crying out, God, when are you going to take my enemies out? You know, all this stuff. And it's that kingdom of God view that it was coming in power to overthrow everything. But no, the kingdom of God is here to strike down darkness as we live as members of the kingdom under the reign of God. It's here. You can't see it in the dough. Can't see it sometimes, but it's here. It's here. Now turn to Mark chapter 4. One more parable I want you to see. Verse 26. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Hey, Tapestry, this is not about the church, but as the church, we are members of the kingdom of God. You know what that means? We're all sower of seeds. through the Holy Spirit, through the Word. We're sowing seeds. But I want you to see what happens here. We don't know how it grows. We don't. Verse 28, all by itself the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, but the harvest has come. Who gives the harvest? Who gives the harvest? It's not a trick question. Huh? The Lord. Yeah, I was a little reluctant there. That's why I was like, what's going on? The Lord, he gives the harvest. What are we to do? Spread the seed. He gives the harvest. He gives it in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, on our sports teams, in our music groups, where we live, work, study, shop, and play. He gives the harvest. He gives the harvest. Now I want you to turn over to Luke chapter 10. So Jesus has said, hey, if I cast out devils, demons, and the kingdom has come. Amen? So he takes it a step farther, though, and he sends out the 72 messengers in Luke chapter 10, and he tells them what to go out and to do and gives them some pretty specific instructions, but he didn't give them a lot of training, really. He just says, hey, go. Go. The Holy Spirit is with you. And this is pre-Pentecost, okay? But he was with them for that moment. Amen? Look at verse 17. The 72 returned with joy. With what? Joy. Listen, when you go out in the power of the Holy Spirit and do kingdom work, the result is going to be joy. Even if it doesn't turn out the way you think it should be, the result's going to be joy. God is at work. It's his kingdom. It's his reign. So they returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. This is the purpose of these parables, as Jesus was showing that I'm ushering in the kingdom of God. But it's been a mystery for all these years, hundreds of years, that the first step of the kingdom of God is to come against darkness. It's to come against Satan and his demonic army. It's to come against them. Look what Jesus said, verse 18. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, I don't believe this is a reference to when Satan was kicked out of heaven as an angel when pride took over him as the chief musician of heaven. I believe this is a picture here in this parable that Satan's power is being diminished. As the 72 went out in the holy power of the Holy Spirit to do kingdom work, the power of Satan began to come down. Are you with me? The more they went out in the power of the Holy Spirit, the more the power of the devil gets diminished. Tapestry Church, you're members of the kingdom of God. You're under the reign of the kingdom of God. You're under God's reign, Jesus' reign, the reign of the Holy Spirit. And listen, you don't have competition with other people in the kingdom of God. That is of the devil right there, okay? You don't have competition with other people in the kingdom of God. We're on the same team. If we have any competition, it's against darkness. It's never against people. It's against darkness, principalities, powers of the air. That's who we wrestle with, not with people. People deserve our love. The more you come under the reign of God, you know what's going to happen in your life? The more love you're going to have for people. Wherever you go, the more compassion you're going to have for people wherever you go. And as we love with the love of God, as we have compassion for people who are hurting, people who are sick, people whose relationships are just messed up, as we have compassion for them and step into that with the love of God and step into that with the spiritual gifts that God has poured into us as part of, as members of his kingdom under his reign, what happens is every time we step into all that, darkness gets diminished and light is set up on a hill and light drives out darkness. Are you with me? That's the purpose of Tapestry Church, is that it's bigger than Tapestry Church. You're members of the kingdom of God. You're under the reign of God. It's something so much bigger than you gathering like this. So much bigger. And we got to need to have our eyes open. The kingdom is here, and we're part of it. It's not fully here. That's why not everyone we pray for gets healed. But there's coming a day when it will be fully here. Amen? It's the already and not yet. We're members of the kingdom of God. Now, what does this mean for us? Well, first of all, make sure you're a member of the kingdom of God. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is a member of the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 5, the greatest sermon Jesus ever preached, greatest sermon ever preached, Jesus says, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That word poor in spirit means this. That phrase, it means to be a spiritual beggar. To be a spiritual beggar. Now, how many of you ever seen someone begging or a panhandler, and yet you offered them something and they didn't want it? Are you with me? This is not the picture. They still have something. They feel like they still have something to offer. A spiritual beggar, this is the only way you can encounter a Christ and come into the kingdom. It means I have nothing to bring to you, God. I got no righteousness, none. So I need your grace. That's the only grounds upon which you can come into a relationship with God, is to be a spiritual beggar. If you're still bringing a little bit of your righteousness, you're not in. You got to come with nothing. And he'll give you everything. So first of all, make sure you're part of the kingdom of God. Secondly, if you're part of the kingdom of God, which I believe you are, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek it first. Now that's contrary to popular belief in our society, isn't it? The culture says seek what you want first. Seek it out. Make sure you get what you want. Because if you don't get what you want, you know, life's not going to be good. So you've got to get ahead. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to flip the script. Actually, the world script's upside down and Jesus is right side up. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all the other things that you need in life will be added to you. Do we really believe that? So seek first his kingdom. Make sure you're part of the kingdom. Seek first his kingdom in your personal life. In your relationships? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God in your relationships? Hey, listen, don't look at them right now because I don't want you to make a weird face. But your spouse is not your enemy. Your spouse is not your problem. It's darkness. Sometimes it gets displayed in our relationships. But when we live as members of the kingdom of God and love the way God wants us to love, that changes everything. Amen? So seek first the kingdom in your personal life, in your relationships, and then Tapestry Church. Your number one responsibility is to seek first the kingdom of God. To seek to be under the reign of God as a church. And I know your pastors, they desire to be under the reign of God more than anything else. So you know what that means? Secondly, what Liz says, I set aside some of my preferences because I want to be under the reign of God. I believe that God knows me best and knows what he has for me. Him and he made me before the world was ever formed. He knew me. So he knows me best. So I can seek first his reign in my life and in my church and trust him with that. I can trust him with that. Seek first the kingdom of God, the reign of God. Secondly, pray for God's kingdom to come to earth daily through you, through this body. How do you walk into the mall? How do you walk into a grocery store? Are you walking in, bringing in the kingdom? Or are you just walking in to get what's on your list? We got to walk in to bring the kingdom. When you're driving your car in traffic, you got to bring the kingdom. Not the sign language. Bring the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Oh, I got a little weak there. We got to bring the kingdom every day, starting in our home, in our neighborhood, wherever we go. We're bearers of the reign of God. Everywhere we go, we bring the reign of God with us, the love of God, the power of God, the compassion of God. We take it with us. Ask God daily. I'm telling you, when you walk into a store, there's a pastor I follow. He says, if I know something's on this side of the store, I'll go on the other side so I can walk across the whole store and just bring the kingdom of heaven. It changes atmospheres. It changes atmospheres. Do you know you have the ability and the power of God to walk in a room? You can walk into Target and sense, I sense that power of darkness right there. And begin to denounce it and pray something else in. God, bring this in. Instead of this hatred that's in this store right now, God, will you bring your love right now? And you walk to the store bringing the love of God against that darkness. Are you with me? You see, we're bearers of the kingdom of God. You can't get bored as a member of the kingdom of God. Being a member of the kingdom of God, under the reign of God, doesn't mean you just go to church on Sunday and Tuesday night, get a good meal and some Bible study. No, that's not it. Is that every day, everywhere we go, even here and everywhere else, we're taking the reign of God with us and the power of God. He's anointed us with power, with love, to shift atmospheres and to see lives change for the glory of God, for darkness to be diminished and light to shine and Jesus to be lifted high. The kingdom of God is present. It's present in you. Everywhere you go. I want you to think about that family reunion you just hate going to. This year, you get to bring the kingdom of God. Ooh, that's an atmosphere shift right there, huh? That's a mindset shift. I get to bring the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is just the reign of God. Then we need to display the kingdom of God. He's called us to display it. As I was sitting alone this morning, I believe the Lord gave me some prophetic words for your pastors, for Gary and for Jen. So I want to speak these over you. As I always do, I say you have to discern if it's from God. I'm never going to say it's from God, but I believe he gave it to me. But you discern in your spirit if it's from the Lord. If it's from the Lord, then praise God. If it's not from the Lord, then drop in the trash can on the way out, okay? And I'm good with that. My job is just to deliver. It's not to make sure it happens. Are you with me? All right. So, Gary, you make God smile. By the way, could someone get their recorder out and record this? You got it, okay. You make God smile. In fact, he's looking over at Jesus right now and says, look at that, look at our son. Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit are so incredibly proud of you. They made you creative, and your creativity is going to a whole new level in every way. But specifically, you will receive some creative downloads from heaven on new ways to make disciples in the church in the 21st century. Mm. It's not that there's a new way, but you're going to be able to contextualize it in 21st century life in our Western culture to make disciples that's going to shift the kingdom of God. What you have done in this area is great. What you've been taught is great. And what you are teaching at Tapestry is great, but a breakthrough in how to make disciples who make disciples is being entrusted to you from heaven. Open up your mind and spirit and receive all that the Holy Spirit has for you in this area. This will mark tapestry and impact the kingdom of God. Gary, God will give you the deep desires of your heart that you've longed for in other areas as you walk in this new area. He wants you to trust him. I speak that over you in the name of Jesus. Jen, you are deeply loved and adored by Father, by the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Rest in that love. Live and minister from that love, not for it. You already got it. A gift of teaching is being released to you.
Hallelujah.
If you already have it, it is being increased dramatically. Yes. Tapestry Church will be encouraged as you use your gifts of teaching and prophecy. Rhema words will flow from heaven through you to encourage the body. The gift of prophecy is needed in this confusing season. Clarity will come to this house as you teach the living word and speak prophetic words. I speak that over you in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Does that resonate with your hearts?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Church, does that resonate with you?
Yes.
With them? Can I ask you something? Were you encouraged as I prophesied over them? That's the thing about prophecy that I've noticed. I just returned from a prophecy conference out west. And they were speaking a word over a person the other side of the room, 1,000 people. Everyone else in the room was encouraged. Jill, while we were in worship, I saw you just looking to God, like desiring God greatly. And maybe it's because of this injury you've gone through. That you've had more time with him, I don't know. But I saw him, you looking at him, staring at him, with the most incredible joy on your countenance. But then this is what I saw. I saw God just flooding your life with his light, flooding your life with his joy. And the peace of God was just all over you. And whatever you're searching him for right now, there's something you're asking him for. He wants you to know he hears you. And he's going to answer. But more than that, he's just pouring out his glory on you. He's pouring it out on you. It really is. Does that resonate with you, Jill?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Pastor Ron. I love you, man. During the worship time, I just sensed in my spirit that God is going to allow you to see in your marriage counseling things that aren't being said that need to be heard. You will hear what's being said physically, but you will know what's really being said spiritually from the heart of that person. And you will have insight not to correct them, but to bring the love of Christ into that moment, the Holy Spirit into that moment. You will see people, you will see on their countenance, you will see one thing in the physical, but you will understand something else in the spiritual. And you'll be able to speak life into relationships as never before. I sense that for you, Ron. I believe that for you. I just say, yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, pour it out on Ron right now. Open his eyes, open his ears, fill his tongue. Lord, let him see what only you can see in heaven, and let couples, their lives be healed, their marriages be healed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sense in my spirit that maybe someone's dealing with some lower back issues, the right side of your lower back, this side right here, right there. Someone's dealing with tinnitus, just some ringing in your ears. Some hip pain. It's like a sharp pain that's that bone right there. Some hip pain. that you're experiencing. Now, this one, I don't know what it is, but I saw it. It can either have a spiritual meaning or a physical meaning or both, okay? But I believe that God is restoring tears to someone. You've lost the ability to cry in the Lord with compassion. He's just restoring your tears from your heart. He's putting compassion back in your heart. Or, I believe that's actually happening, or someone's dealing with some dry eye situation and he's allowing tears to come back to your eyes in the physical. So it's either a spiritual or a physical one or both. And that God is working in your life right now and he wants to bring healing to you. Jill, I also believe the glory of God is shining on you, that he's going to bring healing to your rotator cuff like quicker than you expect right now. And in fact, Liz, would you just put your hand on her and just pray real quietly, yes, healing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If any of those things are called out, if anyone was dealing with, would you be so brave and so humble at the same time? It's just to stand up. Just anyone, just stand up. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing about the kingdom of God. There's no one with just special gifts to pray over people, and they're the only ones that get to do that. I love what John Wimber used to say. Everyone gets to do the stuff. Everyone. If you're a member of the kingdom, you get to do the stuff. So if you see someone standing right now, I want you to just go over there and just very quickly, let's just one person pray. I want you to find out, first of all, just ask them, if you don't mind, could you share what the issue is in 30 seconds? And then they're going to pray over you real quick. We're going to ask God to heal, then we're going to do some more stuff. So go ahead. Go ahead. If you still have no one praying for you, raise your hand. Raise your hand. If there's a physical thing that you stood up for, raise your hand. Look for people who have their hands raised. Yes. Stop praying. Look right here. Here's what I want you to do. Stay. If you prayed over, stay standing. Everyone else can sit down. I want you to test. If it's something you could test, like you could move an arm or do something you couldn't do before, or you know, do a squat, whatever it is, if you could test it right now. And if it's 80% better, like the pain is diminished, it's 80% better, whatever, just put your hand up in the air and praise God. All right, we got some. Let's praise God. Come on, come on. All right, if you're not 80% better, or we want to get from 80 to 100, amen? Let's reach out to everyone and reach a hand out right now and just begin praying for people that it would just full healing in Jesus' name. Come on, he died to purchase our healing spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every way. The kingdom of God is here. Church, isn't it great to be a member in the reign of God, in the kingdom of God? It really can't be boring, can it? We get to bring it everywhere we go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We get to demonstrate the kingdom of God. I read a story recently. I'm going to tell you a story, one I read and one I experienced. I read a story about this young man. He went into a fast food restaurant and he was sharing Christ with everyone he could find behind the register and behind the counter and this side of the counter. And then he saw someone coming through the drive-thru and he spoke some words of prophecy over them. And they pulled off and parked. He went out and got in the car with them. And the guy in the car had a broken leg. And He said, well, it's time to demonstrate the kingdom. He didn't say that. He's thinking that. Boom. Prayed over that leg. The guy got out and stomped that thing down the ground. He was completely healed. The whole car got saved. That's the kingdom of God. Amen? It's being demonstrated. It's being demonstrated. Listen, I want to say this as much as you can. It's not what you do. It's not the righteous acts you do. It's not how much you go to church and never miss, though that's cool. It's not that. It's, are you living as a member of the kingdom of God every day at home and everywhere you go and bringing it with you and demonstrating it? Gary, this is so bizarre, but we've been seeing some crazy healings at our church. And not everyone we pray for gets healed, that's for sure. But in 1 week, we had a 7-day period. And I was there for every one of these. And the coolest thing about it is I wasn't the one leading it. I just kind of facilitated. But in 7 days, we saw 8 people receive physical healing. The first one started on a Sunday night. We have our Next Steps class, which is our process of coming into our church. And one of our table hosts, Lloyd, came in. He could hardly walk to his table. I watched him from the parking lot in. I said, Lloyd, you okay? He says, no, man. I'm in serious pain in my hip. I have no idea what's going on. I said, can you guys pray for me? I said, we will do that. I said, be sure, and if we don't get prayed for before, see me afterwards. And so he caught me after and said, hey, man, I need that prayer. And I says, all right, Keith, come pray for Lloyd. Why did I ask Keith? Because Keith, about 6 months ago, had knee pain in his right knee for 2 years, and one of our young ladies prayed over him, and 2 days later, the pain disappeared completely. You know what I've discovered? If you've been healed, you got faith to believe that other people can be healed. You know what I'm saying? So I said, Keith, you're up. You got Lloyd. Keith puts his hand on him. Keith, 6'8", puts his hand on him, prays. I said, before he prayed, I said, hey, Lord, where's the pain on a scale of 1 to 10? And said, well, if I'm just standing here, it's a 6. If I'm walking, it's a 9. I said, all right, Keith, let's go. Keith prayed a simple prayer over him. I said, all right, Lord, test it. And he began to walk. He began to cry. And then he began to dance with joy. I said, Lloyd, where's the pain? He says, it's gone. I saw Lloyd this week. It's still gone. Amen? So standing about 6 feet away from us is another couple. The guy says, hey, my wife's got hip pain too. Can y'all pray for her? I said, sure. Lloyd, you're up. He just got healed. Who better to pray for her? Can you see the kingdom of God is fun? Lloyd, he's never prayed for anyone to be healed in his life, okay? He puts his hand on her. God, you did it to me. Do it to her. I asked her where her pain was before. She said it was a 9. And I said, all right, can you test it? She said, where is it? I said, oh, she just began to cry. I said, it's about a 4 now. I said, all right, let's hit it again. See, that's the difference. When I grew up, we might pray for you, but we sure won't ask you to test it because we knew it wasn't going to happen. You know what I'm saying? And we didn't want to be embarrassed. You know? But I've learned now, you gotta ask. Test it. So we prayed again. Pain gone. Over that week, we saw 8 people receive physical healing. I got to see every one of them. What is it? It's the kingdom of God. You know what Keith does now? He's a greeter at our door, entrance 1, at our broadcast campus. If he sees someone that's down in their countenance or that's limping or anything like that, boom, he's making a beeline to them. The kingdom of God is coming to that person today. And every week, he had a story last week at our huddle time before we meet and huddle up, before people get there just to encourage one another and go over a value for the week and pray. And this young lady, Debbie, she says, yeah, my knee's really been hurting me. And I went to the doctor the other day and he says, well, let me give you this. Maybe in about 3 days, this might help it. But he did pray for her. The doctor did pray for her. Well, she knew Keith had a locksmith store next door. And she walked next door, and she was telling Keith, yeah, my knee's in pain. He just, ha, ha, ha. I had told Keith the week before. We had been on a trip together. I said, Keith, Sometimes the way God speaks to you shows you that people need healing is he'll give you a pain in your body that you didn't have before. So the night before this pain, Keith had been healed for 6 months. The pain came back to his knee. It's like, what is going on? It was Debbie. She was coming to his place the next day. He prayed for her. Her pain disappeared. His pain disappeared. Gone. The kingdom of God. And you see, I believe that when we see people who are hurting outside of these walls, and we come and bring the kingdom of God to them, and they experience the love and the compassion of God and the power of God, what are they ready for then? The gospel. But if we go first with the gospel, they may not be ready. They may not. I was in Mozambique 4-5 years ago. We went to this remote village that had never heard the gospel. And we brought a big old truck bed. And we set up the show of Jesus film in their language. And but before we showed the Jesus film, the lady that we were with, the missionary, said, is there anyone in the village? The whole village came. So anyone in the village who's born blind or born deaf? And the village introduced two teenage boys who were born deaf. So they had them come up. The missionary got her adopted Mozambican kids to pray over those boys. Boom, their ears opened up. I got a picture on my phone of it. And then they begin to have a conversation with her on that stage. And we show the Jesus film. And I'm telling you, the whole village came to know Christ. They all came. It's like, who's coming, who's not? Everyone came. Why? They saw the kingdom of God at work. They heard the gospel. And they embraced the King. Tapestry Church, called, you're anointed, you're filled, you're destined as members of the kingdom of God, under the reign of God, to take his kingdom with you every day, everywhere you go. And I believe there will not be a week in the life of Tapestry Church where there's not a story told of the kingdom of God going to someone and it making a difference. God bless this church. Bless this body. Thank you, Jesus, for ushering in the kingdom. Help us to live as members under your reign. And take your kingdom everywhere we go. Bless this body. Bless them. Bless the leadership. In Jesus' name.
Pastor Kyle, brother, God bless you. So in 1984, when Youth Quest came through London Bridge Baptist Church, I was a high school kid and I was the piano player in the old sanctuary. And Youth Quest was this traveling youth ministry team from Liberty. And the team members had to stay in people's homes. And so I wasn't involved in the youth at all. And I was working a job and I was busy at school. But my mom volunteered to keep a member of the team. So she kept, was it Bob? Was that his name who headed them? She kept this guy, Bob. Bob Miller, yeah, was the team leader. And they roll into town, and Bob walks in, and there's a piano there, and it's covered in sheet music, and obviously somebody's been, and he's like, what is this? And she says, well, that's my son. And he's like, how old is your son? And she said, he's 17. And he's looking through the music, and there are trumpet parts and French horn parts, because I was doing orchestrations for First Assembly and for First Baptist Norfolk at the time. And he was like, well, what? Your son's 17, and he's doing orchestrations? And so he was immediately interested. Anyway, the short version of the story is Bob invited me up to Liberty and introduced me to a guy named Dave Ranlett. And so I was given a 4-year full ride scholarship to be a member of the Sounds of Liberty as their arranger keyboard player. And I was I was packed and ready to go to rehearsal camp in the middle of the summer when they found out that I spoke in tongues. Now, back in those days, it was Jerry's position and it was the university's position. Not only was that not real, but that was the devil. And so they did, so I lost everything. And and I just say that to say, I think it was the very next year, Kyle comes to London Bridge as the youth pastor. And he and I, Kyle and Melanie came and we become friends. And he was really passionate for the Lord. I was really passionate for the Lord. But we're coming from two very different places. You know, he was born and raised in that environment. And I was relatively newly saved and had just come into all this awareness of the Holy Spirit. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Billy Joe Birch is sitting right back there. I don't know if you saw Billy Joe or not. Jack and I were in a relationship, and so Kyle meets Jack, and right.
It was a great night.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're at Jack's house, and I'm a Baptist boy, and they're going to pray the Holy Spirit on me. And I said this directly. Guys, aren't you glad God's gracious? I said, hey, you can pray, mommy, or not. I got all I'm ever going to get, so you're wasting your time, but go ahead.
Yeah.
And man, they are crying out to God on my behalf. I'm sitting there like, ding, 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 ding.
But, you know, the thing of it is, though, like, even in those days, you were so hungry for the authentic. You didn't believe that was authentic, but you were hungry for it. And I remember multiple conversations where you would say, listen, if it's real, I want it. I just don't know if it's real or not.
Yeah, I don't even think I ever told you this, but probably 2 years later, I'm sitting in the balcony of that old sanctuary. Mel's in the choir, and we have a guest speaker in that day, David Ring, who has cerebral palsy, and I've heard this message 3 or 4 times. He only had 4. And he invites himself back, so you can't say no to a guy who's got a cerebral palsy.
Right.
Pastor Tommy, I'd love to come next year. Are you good with that? Yeah. In the service. What are you going to say?
It's true.
So I'm sitting in the, and by the way, he's a friend of mine, and so he allows me to do this. I'm not making fun of him. He says, like, you people praying for my healing, stop it. God heals me, I'll be out of business.
It's true.
So he's speaking, and I'm in the balcony. And I had an experience that D.L. Moody described, but I wouldn't know till years later what it was. I had no one in my context, and we didn't talk about this then, who could tell me what happened to me. But I'm sitting in the balcony, and all of a sudden, wave after wave of the love of the Father just began to pour over me. And I don't know if anyone around me knew what was going on or not, but I just begin to weep uncontrollably at the love of the Father. But no one could tell me what happened to me. It was so real, so powerful, Gary. I thought I was being saved again, but I knew I was saved. But it was that powerful. And here's what happened in that. Before that, if the right evangelist came to town and spoke, came to Liberty, he could make me doubt for a moment, am I truly a Christian?
Right.
But after that experience in that balcony, the love of God just poured over me. I've never doubted that I belong to Him again, that He loves me.
Great.
But I had no one in that setting, because you weren't in that setting, to say, hey, no, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
And but God was gracious to me and gave me another experience, October 1, 2008, where I was directly seeking it. And it really goes back to that time with you and Jack, though. That's where it started. So thank you.
Yeah.
I'm forever grateful.
Listen, while you stay up here, what I want to tell you is that that heart was in you then, and it's in you today, and you haven't begun to see all that God's going to let you see. And he is going to satisfy the desire of your heart to see the real power of God. And that's one of the things I love about this brother. It's not about spectacular. It's not about the show. He wants the real thing. And I'm eager, church, for you guys to get to know Pastor Kyle, because he's the real deal. His feet are on solid ground. Would you guys stand with me? I want to pray for Kyle and for his family. We're going to continue to pray for Liv's healing. Also, for those of you who have compassion for this in particular. In fact, I'm going to ask if our... Can I get our elders and wives to come in? I want to surround Pastor Kyle. Will you step down here? I want to pray for Emily, and I also want to pray. I want to pray for Olivia, and I want to pray for Emily. We're asking the Lord to give her children and to give Kyle and Melanie grandchildren. And so if you guys would extend your hand as one of our overseers, if God bless, we've been studying this on Tuesday. If God blesses him, he blesses us, right? So we pray for those who are in the realm of authority for us. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Kyle and for Melanie, for Olivia, for Emily, yes, and their spouses, what you're doing in their lives. And Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for the power of God to hit this family, Lord. We pray for complete and total healing for Olivia in Jesus' name. From the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, Holy Spirit, would you restore every dysfunctional part of her spine in Jesus' name. I pray radical, unexpected healing. God, I pray a cessation of pain that's inexplicable, Lord. Supernatural healing flowing through her in Jesus' name, Lord. Even as her husband ministers to other people right now, would you minister to her in Jesus' name? As he cares for your children, would you care for Kyle's children in Jesus' name? Father, we pray for Emily. Lord, we speak fertility over this couple in Jesus' name. God, whatever the obstacles are, you know, I pray that you would remove them. Children are a heritage from the Lord, and we claim this heritage for Emily and for Kyle and Melanie in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. God, thank you for loving this church enough to give us awesome overseers. And God, we will steward that resource carefully and gratefully in Jesus' name. Amen.